My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Our final hour here, also live on the Free Odyssey app. Well, the whole show's on the Free Odyssey app. We're on YouTube as well at the Team 980. We had a brief hiatus on YouTube earlier in the show, unplanned, but that sometimes is the way the cookie crumbles, if you will, or your internet goes out. But we're happy to be back up. And of course, if you missed any part of the show, say you normally watch us on YouTube, good news. We got a podcast. Also, the whole show's on available on demand. Before Anthony even puts it up in the podcast feed, because we got the rewind feature on the Odyssey app. Basically, we've had a good day on this front, Anthony. Wayne called the show earlier in the 4 o'clock hour. He got the show. He said that, hey, I love to listen to your show. And if I can't, then when I get home, I fire up the iPad and I listen that way on the podcast. Wayne gets the show. What's anyone else's excuse? Or is Wayne just a super genius?
I don't think they have an excuse.
All due respect, Wayne, who's probably listening to this part of the show on the podcast. You are a super genius, Wayne, but I think there are more super geniuses amongst us. Anyway, apropos of none of that, it's time for our pick six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the pick six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, let's boogie. Pick six on a Monday means we take a look back at the six players we selected on Friday and see how they did. The six players we selected on Friday were the six that we thought were most interesting to watch during Commanders and Giants. And we start with Anthony.
Number one.
Which I had number one this week, and number one was big number 97 for New York. Now, Dexter Lawrence was not, he was not great in this game. He was not bad in this game. He was just kind of a solid defensive tackle in this game. And boy, let me tell you what, if you had told me Friday that the Commanders were going to turn Dexter Lawrence into just a merely solid defensive tackle who would make a couple of plays and maybe require a little bit of extra attention, I would have signed up for that on the spot. And that is exactly what they did. Tyler Biadasz was excellent in this game. Nick Allegretti, Sam Cosmi helping out. They did a really great job. They were attentive to him. There's a couple plays that he ruined, like two or three big plays that he makes, but like nothing disastrous. No sacks in the game. He was good. But like, he's Dexter Lawrence. If you can hold him to good and not great, you've won the Dexter Lawrence battle. PFF, for whatever it's worth, graded him out as their third best defensive player. He graded out in the green at a 75-3. Fine. Don't care. Good. You know what I do care about? He had zero sacks, zero hits. He had four hurries, only three tackles. That, I'll take that any day of the week.
Nah, yeah, I'll definitely take that as well. And I was telling you earlier, I was so surprised. Like, Tyler Biadasz sometimes one-on-one with Dexter Lawrence. Like, usually, you know, he demands a double team at least, or he's going to blow up a play, but for the most part, we did our best, you know, holding our water and, limiting him to not having, one of those monstrous days that he could have and have had against the Commanders.
I said, like, just don't let him wreck your day.
Yeah.
And they didn't. They didn't. They ran right at him. They got some, you know, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Like, he had some tackles. He had some plays that he gummed up. He also had some plays that he gummed up that Brian Robinson found another exit.
Yeah.
So, you know, that works out, too. Just a really good job, I think, by the Commanders front, all in all, on Sunday. All right, number two, Anthony.
Number two.
Number two was my guy, Daron Payne. And I'm not going to say he necessarily had a bad day, because part of the reason I wanted to pick him this week is because week one, they made the plays, or the plays were there to be made. We just didn't capitalize on them. And I thought this was going to be a great week for, you know, him to rebound and right those wrongs. He showed up here and there, but I don't think it was consistent enough, to be honest, if I'm being honest.
He graded out per PFF at a 72.4, and whatever it's worth, that was their second best. They had Wagner at an 89, and Bobby was pretty good. You know, occasionally, like, not as effective as you want as a blitzer. A couple of things in coverage here and there, but, like, by and large, I think Bobby Wagner played a really good football game. St. Juice they had as a 69. And then Allen was their fourth best player at a 62.9. And I say that because, I mean, I guess as a run defender, he graded out as a 49.1. So it's not like they graded him out well in that department. I just think that, like, for what he was asked to do, you can't tell me that John Allen had a 62.9 and was better than a guy like Quan Martin or Percy Butler in this game.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever that is. But for Payne, like, eventually, you got to get production. Like, yeah, he ate some blocks. Yeah, he got some penetration on Cleveland Furl's sack. Like, he's the main instigator there, pushing the pocket, one of his two hurries that PFF credited him with. But at the end of the day, like, you're paying these dudes major money to produce. Like, you need stat sheet stats from them. You need tackles. You need sacks. You need passes deflected. You need Daron Payne to be the Daron Payne. Not that he necessarily was in that Denver game last year for that one series that he wrecked the entire series,
yeah,
because that's unsustainable for a game. But can we get some flashes of that dude a couple times a game? I think that those two guys in the middle just, like, need to, maybe it's what they're being asked to do in this defense, which is why I'm not willing to fully say, hey, bad job, Allen, bad job, Payne. And I also want to understand why it is that they haven't been as effective. But ultimately, the thing that I am comfortable saying at this point is this defense needs to get to a point where they are producing more. And that is just simply not happening right now.
Number three.
Number three, I admittedly picked on a false premise. On Friday, it looked like Micah McFadden might not play in the game on Sunday. Not only did Micah McFadden, the Giants linebacker, play, but he played well. He was their leading tackler. He had 12 tackles on the day. But I had picked Ben Sinnott because I thought they would go some heavier personnel and they would use Sinnott and Bates and Ertz together. And turns out, like, they didn't, because McFadden was out there and you know, getting the backup linebacker on the field wasn't something they were going to do. Zach Ertz had a big day. That was great at the tight end position. Bates has a couple of nice blocks. And Sinnott, honestly, has a couple of nice blocks. And there's also a couple of plays where he's out there where you're like, that dude plays hard. Like, he just plays really hard. He knows he's only going to be out there for one or two snaps at a time. And he goes and he'll sprint, you know, from the opposite hash the numbers to try to make a block on a play or to be there just in case there's a block to be made. So, like, there's a lot to like from Ben Sinnott as a young player. They used him as a fullback some. And there's even a play, it's somewhere in my notes, where, like, they do show some of the flexibility. I don't even remember what the result of the play was. I just remember noting, like, hey, the tight ends right now are Sinnott, Bates, and then B-Rob is in, and they wound up in a spread formation five wide and empty. And so, like, you see some of the stuff that you can do with him that is cool, from the fullback stuff to the, hey, he's a tight end, but he can line up as a receiver or a running back, or, and you just kind of play with some of the defense's rules. But ultimately, I picked Ben Sinnott for a reason that wound up not being true. So, whoops.
I mean, I still don't think it was the worst, you know, pick. He didn't have that much impact, but to his credit, you know, which you just outlined, or, you know, highlighted, the fact that, you know, he is a willing blocker. And, you know, I think a lot of the tight ends in the NFL are, that we're seeing now, are, you know, being willing bloggers, dudes that are going to, you know, do the dirty work, and also, you know, be able to, you know, go out and catch patches. So
yeah, I mean, he played 13 snaps. He was in there for three passes. Like, he ran three routes, one pass block snap, and then nine run block snaps. So he's mostly being used as a run blocker. But, you know, if you can put him out there and, like, oh, it's going to be a run, Sinnott's in, and then you get the nice play action shot, like, you're setting stuff up for later in the year. I like the plan with Ben Sinnott, I guess, the what I would say. I like the plan with Ben Sinnott. We'll see what ultimately happens with it moving forward. All right, Anthony, number four.
Number four.
This one a little bit more on the nose in terms of game importance.
Yeah, this one was whoever was going to be filling in for Emmanuel Forbes. You had Noah Igbinoghene, and then you also had Michael Davis. Michael Davis started out, and then he ended up getting benched just because he was just giving up too much to Malik Nabers. And I'm not going to lie, Malik Nabers is a tough ax to, you know, guard. That's why he was drafted 6th overall, put up the numbers that he did at LSU, why him and, you know, Jaden Daniels had the report that they had. But, you know, still the missed tackles, the effort, I still think you need that, even if you are giving up the catch. And sometimes, you know, he's getting beat. You got to still run, finish the play and run to the ball. And then they put Noah in. And Noah, you know, he did a little bit better, but I think I further sort of kind of understand why they left Forbes in week one.
you
rather have if it's going to be similar production, you rather have the younger guy, I'm assuming.
Get
the experience, get the reps, and, you know, be able to, you know, hopefully build off of it. But if you got a veteran like Michael Davis getting beat the same way, it's no point in, you know, having him in.
Yeah, and from an athletic standpoint, like, Davis can't keep up with a guy like Malik Nabers. Yeah. Emmanuel Forbes can't.
Yeah.
Whether he will or not is different, but, like, you start from a point that it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say for Igbinoghene, like, he did a much better job.
Yeah.
Obviously, still got the PI. Like, he's grabbing, like, it's too much. There's some other plays that are not great, but, like, Noah's super physical, super duper physical. And so you start off with that baseline, and he's a good tackler. And so there's just a limit to the damage that's going to get done compared to if Davis is out there missing tackles. And now, you know, 60 yards down the field, or I guess they got 60, but like 40 yards down the field, Malik Nabers is running out of bounds, which should have been a 7-yard gain. Yeah. And that can't happen. Forbes, I still think, is better than both of them in the long term, even if he's not great. But we'll see when Emmanuel gets back what that looks like. I give a ton of credit here to the coaching staff for figuring it out by the end of the game. They got to a point where they went in with the game plan. They're like, this is what we want to do, especially on third down. Mm-hmm. We would like to be in man coverage. And generally speaking, we'd like to be in single high. And especially because you're having trouble stopping the run. So you need the extra support in the box. You're trying to get them out of run looks because they're killing you in the run game. And so you're stuck if you're Joe Witt between a rock and a hard place. You got these two defensive tackles that are supposed to be studs that are getting washed up front, and you're giving up, you know, 7.7 yards a carry to Devin Singletary. So you got to kind of commit extra resources to the box. Then Daniel Jones is like, sick. I got one-on-one outside with Malik Nabers on whoever the hell this is, and they're killing you with Malik Nabers. Dable's like, spam one. Throw it to him 18 times in the game. And eventually in the fourth quarter, they just went, like, we're not doing this anymore. And so what they did was they went to two high looks. So they automatically had safety help over there, and they were playing a little bit more zone. And what that does in cover two is it creates a player over the top to prevent the deep stuff and someone underneath. So it's not like, hey, I can win. It's like, hey, I have to try to find this very specific space. And it on some level negates, like, your ability to win one-on-one. Mm-hmm. It's like, beating zone coverage is a different skill than beating man coverage, and it just is a different kind of athleticism. It's a different kind of everything and a different kind of feel, and it requires a different kind of accuracy for the quarterback. I mean, I know that fourth down is one that Malik Nabers probably catches 7 out of 10 times, but Noah Igbinoghene is underneath that throw. He makes it a little bit harder. He should have made it even harder. He should have been farther outside. But ultimately, like, it's not an easy straight line throw. There's a little bit of pressure. Jones is rolling. It's not a clean vision as Noah's like trying to get in the passing lane. And that ball's a little harder to catch than it otherwise has to be. And Nabers drops it. So the switch to the cover two looks in the fourth quarter is a huge, like, thumbs up. Good job, Joe. Good job, Dan. Good job, whoever else decided that was the play. But eventually you just have to go, neighbors is killing us one-on-one. Let's stop leaving him one-on-one and see if they can figure out the X or the Jimmys and Joes later. Because right now we know we don't have those. We need the X's and O's, if you will. All right, our pick six rolling on here on the Hoffman Show, review style on a Monday. Last two. First up,
number five.
Number five is Quan Martin. Quan, he was okay in this game. I should say he's better than that. He was solid in this game. 62 on the old PFF grade. 52 as a run defender, 52 tackler, 55 as a pass rusher, 65 in coverage. Like, Quan continues to be a presence over the top. It's a couple of those deep balls where if they're better throws, they might be completions, but they're going to have to be completions through a massive Quan Martin hit on Malik Nabers, you know, 40 yards down the field. He has a couple other plays where he's in there and doing a good job just shutting stuff down so it doesn't even become a throw. There's one really bad missed tackle that I can remember. It's one of those plays where Chin misses first, but like Chin's being asked to cover an 8-yard wide gap in that spot. Like, I don't put that on Chin. I put that on the tackles and the linebackers who left that size hole. But like, Chin slows Singletary down, and then Quan comes in and misses again, and that becomes a big run. So there's a couple of missed tackles from Quan, but ultimately, like, he's developing into a good safety. And I think the biggest thing is the reason that he was on that list is over the last 2 years, there's been a number of miscommunications where he's been one of the guys. And that didn't happen in this game. The big plays they gave up were more, they got beat, not we beat ourselves. The one exception is the Saner still touchdown that they give up where he just plays with terrible leverage. That's one where you kind of look at it and you're like, dude, you got to play that a lot better. That's a beat yourself. And then I guess there was the one, but Quan wasn't involved. Was it the first touchdown, Anthony, the bunch? No, I think it was the second one. Either way, the first passing touchdown is the one they give up.
Out route?
Yeah, the one where Neighbors scores over the middle, where they don't pass stuff off correctly. But Quan was not involved in that one. So on that front, thumbs up Quan Martin. Obviously, you got to figure out the bunches and the stacks. They're hard. But you got to be clear in your rules. Saner still and Chin are the two that are kind of involved in that. BSJ was on the outside, but I don't think he's involved in the miscommunication. But Quan Martin, better. Still room to grow. Young player, fine with it. And then last but not least, Anthony, good job for you on number six.
Number six.
This might be your best pick you've made in 2 years.
Austin Seibert, baby. I'm not going to go as far as say we have found our kicker, but I will say the fact that, you know, he was consistent, he was able to, you know, knock in the chip shots. I think that goes a long way just because we've had so much inconsistency at the kicker position. And that's really all we want to see necessarily. Like, we don't want to have to go into the offseason with, I mean, I guess that's the least of our concerns, I guess, not having a kicker, but we also see how valuable having one is, because if we didn't have one, then we would have been looking like the Giants and, you know, lost out on some opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to see how bad it is to really not have a kicker?
Yeah.
Look at that other side. Look, Austin Seibert in his career has never missed under 40 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't have a strong leg. And so if that's a part of who you are and you understand that, like, okay, we're a team that's going to go for it from the, you know, 30-yard line and out, like 30 to back to punt range, you can plan for that. You have those situations in your head. Hey, we need to be on top of our stuff on kickoff return because we don't have a kicker who can kick it through the end zone. There are downsides to having a kicker without a strong leg. There's also a lot of upsides to being really confident that you can score in the red zone and get points and you don't have to go crazy because it's not a wild goose chase or any kind of wild card of what's going to happen if your kicker lines up for a 36-yarder.
Yep.
And this team has been in both spots.
Man.
And so, again, I think it's fair to say, despite his 7-for-7, it's too early to be like, they found their kicker.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's one bad week away from being a lot of other kickers that have been here. But he seems very reliable in terms of his career. He's never missed under 40. As long as you ask him to do the things that you need him to do, that he's capable of doing, and then we'll see about the distance, obviously, as the year goes, because there will be situations where it's like, hey, 52-yarder's the right. It's 4th and 9 because Jaden took a sack on a 3rd and 2 or whatever the reason is, the incompletion. Someone dropped the ball on 3rd and 9. And now it's 4th and 9 at the 40-yard line, and you're like, or the 38-yard line, and you're like, well, crap. This should be a kick. It's too far to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So are we going to punt, or are we just going to take the long field goal? And we'll see what he can do. But in the sure thing situations, it feels like he should be reliable. It's the 50-50 calls that perhaps it affects the strategy. And then obviously kickoff return with the new rules. Are you on top of your stuff as a kick coverage unit? Which you saw the first kickoff of the game, they return it. Ballor gets a penalty, as he did on the return. Hey, let's sign this special teams ace. 2 penalties in the first 2 kickoffs. But Ballor commits the penalty, and all of a sudden the Giants are starting from near the 50-yard line.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden that touchback sounds real good. So it's something to watch. But Austin Seibert, nice job. Nice job. 7 for 7. If you do nothing else while you're here, you got the franchise record, and one that hopefully is not broken for a long time. Because, dear God, please let us not see 7 field goal attempts anytime soon. Score touchdowns. I heard it's cool. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, your calls, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. It's Tell the Truth Monday. What you got on the game? 301-230-0980. Tell the Truth Monday wraps us up here on the Team 980.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. So we did earlier in the show, Tell the Truth Monday segment, which we do at 4:30 and 6:30 on Monday. But because our internet was down, we did not get to debut the official segment open, if you will. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is officially time to officially welcome Tell the Truth Monday.
It's Tell the Truth Monday on The Hoffman Show.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
Call us now at 301-230-0980 to tell the truth about the Commanders.
You can't handle the truth!
Or hit the comment section at the Team 980 on YouTube.
Simple as that. So, here's how it works. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. You give us a call. I'm going to answer the phone. I'm going to say, hey, tell the truth about what you saw for Commanders and Giants, and you'll hit us with the truth that you thought of in the game. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Terrell in Baltimore. Terrell, tell the truth about what you saw yesterday at Northwest Stadium.
Yo, thank you for picking me right after the official, man. That I feel like privileged or something, man. That's what's up.
Blessing. Hey, you've earned it with good calls the last couple of weeks. So fire away. What you got for us?
I will take it. To tell the truth, man, that game was a hard watch, man. Just from a fan perspective, I was like, what is going on? But the main reason I called is because I want to give the DMV media, I'm taking a deep breath, but I want to give y'all a shout out because you all have gotten it right this off season. I can't say that the media has been like just overblown and just crazy concepts and filling us with fluff. No, that O-line is scary. And that secondary is trash. And the kicking situation, we knew that was a debacle. And what we are seeing is that. And that's scary because honestly, if the Giants had a kicker, we may not be having a victory Monday or whatever have you. And if Daniel Jones was somewhat of a decent quarterback, we may not be having this conversation. But the DMV media has not given us fluff this offseason, at least from me listening. And so what I'm seeing is we work. The last part I'll leave this with is Eckler and Ertz are true, man. They are ballers. They are like release valves for Daniel, for Jaden. And I'm excited to see what they will do as far as like experience and coming from other organizations that have that IQ that make a team take the next step. And I think I saw Jaden Daniels take a next step in the second half with his quarterback play, staying in the pocket, stepping into the pocket, and giving his wide receivers, who aren't really that great either, mind you, time to develop downfield. So I'll leave it at that. But, man, that was a hard watch yesterday, but I will take the win.
Tara, I agree with you on a lot of that stuff, especially how great we in the media are. That's just, I mean, obviously. No, I'm just messing. Great call, man. Appreciate it. I think, Eckler and Ertz, like, they still got it. Maybe not like they did in their primes, but, like, those two dudes are really, really important, not only to any success they might have this year, but to Jaden's development. You need those safety valves. I mean, look at what happens when you don't have that. Look at what happened with Bryce Young. And not that Jaden and Bryce are the same players, and if you simply switch the spots, that they'd have the same results. But, like, Bryce had none of that. He had no safety flotation device, and he sunk like a lead balloon. And Jaden has that stuff built in, and he has an offensive coordinator who's giving him life rafts all over the place. And eventually he's going to have to learn how to operate this big, gigantic boat. But for right now, like, just get from point A to point B. We can do a little bit of learning as we go here, and just do it in a way that's relatively safe. And they're doing that despite lack of talent. The offensive line, I do think, is, I will say this. I think a lot of the media, certainly I know I said this. I know Logan said this. I know Kime said this. And I think some others did as well, of like, the offensive line was not as bad as a lot of fans wanted it to, thought that it was based off last season, that a lot of it had to do with the quarterback and the play caller last year, and that this offensive line would be a lot better simply because you'd have better scheme, better play calling, and a better quarterback. And I think you've seen that. You've seen that it's not super talented. You've seen that it has its holes, but you have also seen that if you deploy it properly, it will not kill you. And I think, to Terrell's point, like, yes, if the Giants have a kicker yesterday, this game could also go in the L column for Washington. But they had 7 scoring drives. And I think if you want to play the what-if game, you could also say, what if the very easily fixable parts of the Commanders' O-line problems yesterday, false starts in the red zone didn't happen, and they punch a couple of those in, maybe they put up 35 on the Giants, and maybe we're not having any kind of discussion about how close things were, or Austin Seibert certainly having a record-setting day. 301-230-0980. Tell the truth Monday. Let's go to Mo. Mo, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Mo Wilson, heavyweight boxer. I'll tell you right now, man, you called it like it is. You definitely said where our improvements need to be at the defensive back, cornerback, and linebacker. But I want to give it to you like this here. The linebacker's got to be able to stunt, talk to the defensive end, to drop back a little bit on their own, because, I mean, this guy, the head coach, he's a good defensive guy. I don't know why the head coach won't have them stunting. Like you said, all the magic words today. They must run some stunts. And the cornerbacks and the safeties, they got to be able to stunt with a linebacker. Sometimes they come in, you know, like Daryl Green type of concept. You know, we got to keep it real right here. Mo Wilson, heavyweight boxer, go Commanders. I think they're going to be a good team with matching the score-wise. But I think it's just like you said, you know, like you said, if they don't be able to stop some of them, I mean, they got to be, them cornerbacks got to be bold. They got to be going on. I mean, hey, hit the guy if you have to, but don't let them get the ball and get behind you. They going on in. You got to hit him up front. Sometimes, hey, take a 5-yard or 10-yard penalty, but guess what? Man, it may save the game. Mo Wilson, heavyweight boxer.
Oh, okay, Mo Wilson, heavyweight boxer. Anthony's just going to go answer phone calls and ignore me. Okay, Tell the Truth Monday on The Hoffman Show. Let's go to Chris. Chris, thanks for calling. You're on The Hoffman Show. What you got? What truth you got after watching that game?
I think I'm happy. You know why? Because we knew we had holes, and it's evident, but at least it's fixable with the draft. But this is going to be a long process, and I'm here for the ride. I do think that maybe we could do something different with Terry. I don't know if you spoke on that. I just got in the car from work. Maybe Terry could do some of those drag routes that Neighbors was running on us yesterday. But other than that, I'm thankful because we have holes. We got a draft. We got people in place to make the right decisions, hopefully. I did want to ask, out of all the people that was drafted by this regime, what do you think about their draft picks so far?
It's a good question, Chris. I'll let you do the old hang up and listen bit. I think the rookies have been a little underwhelming outside of Jaden so far, but also he's the only one that's a first-round pick, and that's kind of how it goes. And I think that we have to remember, and Chris, you seem like you have a great perspective here of like, hey, yeah, there's only so many things you can do in a draft, and like, this is a long process, and you know, corner is a position that they're clearly going to have to address moving forward. And they didn't really have great opportunities to this year. They did take a corner, by the way, in the second round, and Mike Sanders still, who's going to have a learning curve. Because if you think playing corner in this league is hard on the outside, with what some of the teams are doing with their nickels right now, and some of the asks that teams are like offenses are demanding, I mean, the touchdown he gets beat on, he plays that really poorly. But two things can be true. He played it poorly, and damn, that is a hard thing. Like, he is the split there. Like, Neighbors is wide. Then you got the slot receiver that he's covering is in a ton of space. There's not, I don't think, a tight end on that side. And if he is, he's tight to the line of scrimmage. So, like, you have a massive, massive amount of grass that you are responsible for. And that is why playing with proper leverage and understanding where your help is and using the sideline to your advantage, like whatever is applicable in said situation, is really important. And it takes time to learn some of that stuff. Coleman's obviously coming off the injury. I think he's had some bad moments, but also some good ones. Newton, I thought, didn't really do a whole lot yesterday, but he also wasn't bad when he was out there. I tried to keep an eye on him when he was in the game, when I went back and watched the film. Sinnott hasn't been asked to do a whole lot. And that's the thing. It's like the later you go, the harder it is to play well immediately because you're not as good. That's just the nature of the draft, right? The one that I think is most, I don't want to say he's been disappointing, but like the situation has been disappointing, is McCaffrey, because I think McCaffrey's actually played far better than the production, which he barely has any. But there, you talk about, like, can you get Terry Moore on some of those drag routes that Neighbors killed you on? And the answer is yes, theoretically you could. I don't know how many of those are built into the offense as currently constructed, or whether that's something where they'd have to switch and say, like, hey, Terry, you're going to play the Z on this one instead of the X, and that way we can get you on this certain route concept. Because those drag routes and some of those things are in the offense, and Luke had a couple of them yesterday where he, like, there's one where he's screaming open, and I'm just like, Jaden, he ran straight across your face, bro. What are you looking at? And that happens. Like, I've been breaking down tape for 10 years at this point. And that happens. There's every quarterback that I've ever watched, not only the Washington ones, but there are times where, like, you'd be studying Tampa Bay or New England because Brady's coming to town, and you're like, I wonder what Tom was looking at there. Like, sometimes it happens. It happens less with the great ones and more with the bad ones. And Jaden misses a couple as a rookie, and so be it. But I think Luke has been a guy that he's missed a couple of times where I don't, and he's blocked pretty well. Like, he fights his face off. There are sometimes he's running clearing routes, and he does a good job of playing with urgency and, like, getting to the spots he needs to open things up for others. So, Luke McCaffrey's played okay. Eventually, he needs to get involved more, and I think the production will come. But that's kind of, to me, the rookie report, and it circles around to the question about Terry, which is, yes, I do think you can get Terry on some of that stuff, and I would very much like to. They got some horizontal stuff for him yesterday, had a double slant situation where they hit him on the backside of one, but also a lot of that comes in the dropback game where I don't think Jaden's footwork is quite as polished yet, and I think as they continue to get the footwork and the timing of the drop and how that marries up with the concept down for Daniels, you'll see Terry start to come alive a little bit more on some of those bigger plays. It's Tell the Truth Monday on the Hoffman Show. Let's tell you what. Quick break, come back. We don't do this often. We'll take a couple calls in the final segment of the show here on the Team 980. All right, Ed. You can settle down now. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Yes, you play the left hand up song after kicking 7 field goals and winning a football game.
Hey, we won. A win is a win.
That is correct. A win is a win. It's Tell the Truth Monday here on the Team 980. We're going to squeeze in a couple more calls here at the end. Let's go to Phil in Baltimore. Phil, what you got? What's the truth after the Commanders beat the Giants on Sunday?
Appreciate you having me on this Victory Monday. Happy to celebrate have Victory Monday for a while. One truth that I have is definitely that I definitely think that our secondary is going to get better throughout the season, either being trade pickup or just in depth and just picking up any type of free agent during the draft, and then pretty much just trusting Adam Peters.
All right, Phil, thanks for the call. I do think that they're very limited in who they can actually pick up because it's September. We're halfway. Oh, my God. We're halfway to October. But there's guys out there that they'll probably sign and try out, and maybe they find a diamond in the rough or they coach a guy up. I mean, maybe Chigozie Anuzium comes up off the practice squad and he's a little bit more ready now than he was a couple of weeks ago, and maybe they give him a shot as an undrafted free agent. But I also think, like, they're just going to have to rethink the coverage structures that they play. They're just simply going to have to go, we're going to make, and this is going to suck against the Bengals, but they're going to have to make quarterbacks beat them, not wide receivers beat them. Do not make it easy for quarterbacks to just sit on these deep comeback routes and say, hey, we're not going to get beat deep, but we'll give you a 15-yard chunk. Once teams figure out you can do that, that's not good. I'd much rather have a quarterback try to figure out where the hole is in cover two with maybe some guys flying around in different versions of that. Some cover two, some cover six, some quarters. But like two deep, what they call middle field closed structure. Or sorry, middle field open structures, right? So you have the middle of the field more open because you have two safeties that are protecting the deep out. And if a quarterback can seam a ball in between those safeties over a middle linebacker, like, okay, beat me with that kind of throw. Beat me by picking apart what's cover two versus cover six versus cover four versus whatever versus sprinkle in some man, a zone blitz situation, some simulated pressures where a guy drops out and like find the hole in the zone. And if you can do that quickly and pick us apart and consistently be great and not make a mistake and not turn the football over and your receivers can't fumble, fine. 15-yard chunks just with the simplest college offense of, hey, go deep, and if they sit way on top of the route, stop at 15 yards, and I'll hit you with a deep comeback. Like, that can't be as simple as it is to beat these teams or this team. Or like, hey, we're just going to run through some traffic, and these guys are going to football follies, you know, three stooges run into each other. Like, that can't happen. And so I think simplifying some of the coverage structures and opening yourself up. Like, the thing is, if you're going to play those two deep structures, it's one less guy in the box. And so that is the conundrum right now is you can either stop the pass or stop the run. And right now they can't really do, or they haven't succeeded in either. All right, last but not least, let's go to Mill. Mill, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show. I've been told you have a list of truths on this Monday.
Okay, yeah, actually I do. So the first one is, someone tell Kayvon Thibodeau that how does that L taste?
he really did talk a lot last week, didn't he?
He surely did. I just wanted to mention that. But my second thought is JD continues to shine. I definitely like that one last throw that he did to Noah Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to Austin Seibert for, you know, literally kicking those field goals, you know. Because, you know, in games like, not saying games like this, but games where it matters, you want to have a kicker. And I'm glad we have a solid kicker. And my third one is, I actually like St. Juice yesterday. He actually did a good job covering. I mean, I understand he had a couple of missed tackles sometimes, but that punch out and him just trying to be the best man he can be, I understand, you know, this is like, what, the third year, fourth year?
Yeah, it's third year.
So, yeah. So, and like I said, overall, I mean, C+, I mean, for overall, but I definitely like where we're going. Hopefully, you know, we get better as far as the defense and tackling. And the guys up front, you know, do a better job of stopping the run, like you said, Hoffman. But left hand up, we are the Commanders, you know, first win, and we're not 0-2, you know, so.
Hey, well, that is definitely, yeah, absolutely. That is definitely a victory on this Monday. Mill, appreciate the call. I do think a shout out to BSJ is a great place to end this, because that punch out is emblematic of what this team wants to be about. Obviously, it's got to be way more consistent. Doing it once is not enough. So do not take me complimenting a guy on one play into, oh, Hoffman said everything's going to be okay, because it's going to be a long season in a lot of respects. But on that play, Malik Nabers does a pretty good job of blocking Benjamin St. Juice. And unfortunately, that play is also like a 15-yard run. Like, that's an explosive run. But BSJ fights his way off of that block, his play, and punches the ball out. That is who this team wants to be, is a team that even on a bad play can save it with a good one. Even on a play where it's like, oh, we got a lot of lessons to learn, to use Dan Quinn's terminology. There's some stuff we can do here to correct it. We can overcome that adversity. And I think that play happening more often and creating a lot more turnovers, like, you don't have to be perfect defensively if you can create a turnover. You can give up some plays and then make one of your own and undo it. So that's got to happen more often, but it's definitely a good sign that one finally happened. All right, that's our show for today. We will see you back tomorrow for a Vibe Check Tuesday on The Hoffman Show.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.